Let's try it again.
There we go.
So this morning we'll take a look at Romans 11, but this question came when we're discussing with the pastors in the Philippines the current events, okay, in the world events, when Israel has now had a, what do you call that, covenant, or has some treaty with the Middle Eastern countries, UAE, Bahrain, the latest two. And so we'll take a look at, is this the beginning, you know, some of these future events? And I'm sure the Lord is in control. So today we'll take a look at specific verses, but we will focus on Israel, even though we look at the future. And so in Romans 10, if you have a scripture, or you can take a look at the PowerPoint here. Romans 10:1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And so even Paul's prayer and his heart, we know that he is praying for Israel to be saved. And so move to Romans 11, the very first verse says, "I say then, had God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." So the question becomes, has God rejected his people? Because there's a teaching that church has replaced Israel. So we will not focus on that today, this morning. But the answer is no. The answer is never. God has not rejected his people. And so we will look into how then is Israel saved? How then all Israel will be saved? So the Israel and the Messiah looked at their future in a linear way. You see Israel, and they look forward to the coming Messiah. So when the Messiah will come, Israel will be saved from, let's say, in their time, the Roman Empire or any of their enemies. And so at that time, there will be a resurrection and judgment. So there will be a blessing and there will be a judgment of those that are against God or against Israel. And that resurrection will bring about the kingdom. And so they are looking for that land, that kingdom where the Messiah will reign, and he will reign forever, basically. So it is important to them when they talk about the land, because that was one of the promises of God. So how did they view their future? They look at their current events. Messiah will come, and then the reign of the Messiah in the land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants. And then, of course, in the scripture, we'll see that as the 1,000 years. Before then, it's eternity. But where does the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 fit? And I think that was one of the issues with the people of Israel is, how can this suffering Messiah fit into the history or in the future? And so they, like us, if we don't understand the scripture, usually we read it, but we cannot put it together, so we'll skip that. Knowing that the Lord had said in his word that there is a suffering Messiah. And our hope and our comfort is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that kingdom will come. But let's pick up in verse 2. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture said of Elijah or Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying? And so here we just look at what is foreknowledge. Well, first of all, Paul said God did not cast away his people. He is a Jew. He got saved. He's an ethnic Jew. For knowledge here is to foreknew is predetermined love, relationship, and commitment. Just like in Romans 8:29, foreknow. When you look at know or knowing or foreknowledge or foreknew, it has that relationship, that loving relationship. I remember reading first time, and I read it again in Genesis 4. So just to understand, to know, foreknowledge, is when Adam knew his wife, she became pregnant. So it's not just Adam knowing, how are you? I'm Eve. And then Adam knew his wife again, and she conceived again. Then Cain knew his wife, and she got pregnant too. So the idea here is foreknowledge is more than just I know this person or I know Israel among other nations. So that is a relationship, a loving relationship from the beginning. So the answer from Paul is there is a relationship with God and Israel, his chosen nation. Verse 3 to 6, I'm just looking at the highlighted section here. It says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So Paul, again, is arguing about what is the future for Israel. Is there a future for Israel? And so this current events here started questions from some of the pastors in the Philippines saying, how do we put these treaties with Israel, okay, in the eschatology, in the future? Is this the beginning of, you know, whatever it is? So there are some that believe that's the idea Paul is saying. No, God has not rejected Israel. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own eyes or your own conceits, that blindness in part happened to Israel. And so there is this explanation from Paul, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So the mystery that the casting away of Israel is both temporary and it is also partial blindness. So we can see the argument of Paul. No, I'm a Jew. I'm an ethnic Jew, and I am saved by grace. So it is not total but partial. And it is not permanent but temporary, because there is an end. There will come a time that this blindness, this partial blindness, will come to an end. Until when? Until all the Gentiles determined by God to be saved get saved. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And we know that the God is working also to the Gentiles. That is the promise to Abraham. By the way, before even the nation Israel came about, other nations will be blessed. And so Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So continuing on, Paul continues to say, and this is his conclusion, at least in verse 26, he said, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So just the language in Romans 9, it's talking about the ethnic Israel. So all Israel will be saved. Does it mean every Jew living at Christ's return will be regenerated? I think that's some of the confusion. Or at least the question, may not be confusion, but how will this happen? And when will this happen? And so that is what we will look at this morning. At the end, Paul said, and concerning the gospel, he further explained, they are enemies for your sakes, But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies. Who are they? Israel. But from the standpoint of God's choice of election, they are beloved. It is an irrevocable choice and calling of God. So in other words, when God promised something, we will know it will be fulfilled. So the question is, when will that be fulfilled and how will that be fulfilled? But first of all, no way the church is the enemy of the gospel. And so those that bring the idea that church now has replaced Israel, I think Romans 11 is very clear, very distinct. Israel is Israel, and the church is still the church. It cannot be the enemy of the gospel. This is talking about the unbelieving Israel. So when will all Israel be saved? So what do we find in the prophecies and the events in the human history? How do we feel in some of the history in order to make sense of the past, the present, and the future of all human history? So we have a treaty now with Israel, with nations of our Arab world, right? Or at least, is this the beginning? Are there markers or signs that points us when these things happened or would happen? And the answer is yes. So going to the prophecy in Daniel, there is in chapter 9 the prophecy about 70th week. And I think this will tie in what we call the times when God will deal with Israel again. Notice the language. It says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And so this is a prophecy to Daniel. And he says, upon thy people and upon thy holy city. To do what? To finish the transgression and to make ends of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. There's a lot in this one verse. And so when God sees, well, God is telling Daniel through the angel, what are these things? What is the angel saying? What is the prophecy all about? What is this 70th week? And I think in verse 25, we can see some of the timelines. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And so we know what's the score, right? I think the score is 20. So that will be 7. 3 times 20 is 60. And another 2 at 69 weeks. So at least Daniel is given a timeline. When will this start? The 70th week of Daniel, or the 70 weeks. It will start when there is a commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Until when? Not the 70 weeks, but at least the 69th week, it says, that's when the Messiah will come. At least the Messiah will be introduced. And so in this case, verse 26 there, after this 62 weeks, so the first 7 weeks, and again, we will go to the question later on. What is this, weeks of days, or is this weeks of years? So after the 7 weeks will be rebuilding of Jerusalem. I don't think they build it in 7 weeks of days. But if it is, then there's another 62. That's when the Messiah shall be cut off. It says, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So what is the city that Daniel is thinking? Well, it cannot be any other city but what the prophecy is saying, thy holy city, Jerusalem. City and the sanctuary, which is the temple. In verse 27, he shall confirm. This prince shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And so that is the question. Now, is this what's happening now? Is this what's happening now in the Middle East, Israel, and treaty with other nations? Well, we shall see. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of that week, he shall cause sacrifice and oblation to cease. So for whatever reason, there should be some kind of sacrifices, or at least the prophecy is looking at, when these happen, there will be sacrifices. And so I think that's one of the important indication. Is this happening today? Well, is there sacrifices happening today? So I think that's what we have to keep in mind. And so 77s is what it is, and it cannot be, based on history, weeks of days. It must be weeks of years, given the span between the decree of Artaxerxes and the Messiah when the Lord Jesus Christ came. So 70 weeks pertain to, and then this is the important part again of what is Daniel prophecy is saying. This is for his people, and therefore cannot be any other people but Israel, and his holy city, which is Jerusalem. So this is not about the church or the church saints. And then to anoint the most holy implies this is the Messiah, and that anointing implies the establishment and beginning of his kingdom. So again, we will look into that in the future. So, based on history, it happened when there was a decree, and so therefore it cannot be 7 weeks of days, but weeks of years. That first time marker, we know that through history, the decree is around 444 BC. Until the Messiah, we know the Messiah came, and that end, if they calculate it, around 33 AD. But the point is, you look at those number of years, it happened when the decree happens during the time Nehemiah recorded it, and now you can end it right there where the Messiah incarnation, you can say, happened. So amazingly, Daniel is looking at this in the future to his time. And we're now looking back to the history, at least this part of the prophecy. So the event markers are these. This is where we would say there must be a necessary gap. Why is that? Because the prophecy is saying after 69th week, the Messiah would be cut off or killed. That is the crucifixion. But that is after the 69th week. And here's the thing. But before the beginning of the 70th week. Because at the bottom here it says 70th week has markers. That's the beginning of the covenant between the prince and with many, which is Daniel's people. Jerusalem would be destroyed after the 69th week, but before the 70th week. So in our mind, after 69 is 70. So if it's continuous, then there should not be any, we can say, events that would happen. You say after 69, that will be 70th week. It must happen on the 70th week, but the prophecy is clear, it will happen before the 70th. 70 AD, part of this was fulfilled when the destruction of the temple happened in 70 AD. Obviously, that was after 69th week, but it did not happen on the 70th week because that will be 1 week left, and 1 week of years is 7 years. And so if Messiah was cut off in 69 and there's 1 week left of years, which is 7 years, that would be around 40 AD where it finished that last week. But it happened in 70 AD. So that's why our interpretation as dispensationalists, we can see the gap. The gap is not between our ears, right? It is from the scripture that there is a necessary gap. So there must be a covenant or treaty as the beginning of the 70th. And even today, that was the question, is this now happening? I don't think so, because there are things that, not only the treaty, that's the point. There are other things that happens that we can see from the scripture. But this last week will have a midweek where there will be an abomination of desolation. And then, of course, we believe that after the last week will be the second coming of Christ. In the Bible, you see these numbers, 3.5 years, another 3.5 years, 42 months, and the second 42 months, or 1,260 days to the second 1,260 days. So the midpoint is very clear from the scripture. So how do we look at it? Messiah was cut off. That was Isaiah 53. This is where we can fit in the prophecy of the suffering servant. But that happened according to Daniel's prophecy after the 69th. After the 69th, Jerusalem also, the temple will be destroyed. That happened. But it cannot be on the 70th week, because that will be the covenant with the prince that begins or start that time marker of the last week of Daniel. And so what is this gap? It's a mystery. The gap is the mystery. And that mystery is the church. We call the church age, which we live in now. Ephesians 3, 1 to 13 explains that mystery, that, hey, there is this body that is not only, there be no Gentiles, Jews, Gentiles, okay, bond nor free, but it is the mystery, the body of Christ. Will the church go through the tribulation? We don't have time this morning, but the question is, will the church go through the tribulation? Because at the end of this, remember the timeline, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, then what will happen after that? And I think that will be the 70th week of Daniel. And so the question that we will not go through to this morning is, will the church go through tribulation? There are two major, you can say, views. There are several, but we will look at pre-tribulational. That's what we are. I believe, right? We believe that rapture will happen. So when we talk about pre-tribulation or post-tribulation, think of rapture, because that is the question. Do we believe rapture when the church will be caught up with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? Will that happen before the tribulation? If that's the case, which we believe, then Israel will not go through the tribulation. But the other view is, goes post-tribulation. After tribulation, the rapture. That means the church will go through the tribulation. So we hold to the, let me go back, the pre-tribulational rapture. So that's another time we can discuss. So for now, what happens immediately before tribulation? We are in a gap. We are in a church age. While church, pre-tribulational rapture, will be raptured, restrainer will be removed. See how this world with all sinful nature people, right? It's amazing that we still have peace. And you can see how when you remove God, what is now happening. So when the restrainer is removed from this world, then you will have an idea of the chaos. You will have an idea of the evil that could happen. All we have to do is look at Revelation. We start looking at the book of Revelation. But I think this is the Holy Spirit, and not the Holy Spirit is removed from the world. I think it is the control of the Holy Spirit that will allow man to do according to their sinful nature. So we cannot remove God from any part of this creation or universe. So I believe it is the Holy Spirit's control that will now be removed. The strainer will be removed. And the next point here, judgment seat of Christ, I believe will happen because of the rapture. The church now is in heaven, therefore the judgment seat of Christ. This is just logical conclusion that probably will happen while this time of tribulation is happening on earth. Antichrist rises to power. Restrainer is removed. Antichrist is revealed. Rises to power over the Roman Confederacy because they believe that the people that destroyed Jerusalem, the temple in 70 AD, is the same. He will come from that same, you can say, place or location. So what do we know? We know that the temple was destroyed. We know the Messiah was crucified. We know those happened according to the prophecy after the 69. But it did not happen in the 70th week. So it happened before the 70th week. The necessary gap is a mystery. But we still have to answer the question, how can God now come back to his promises to Israel? So the Antichrist, the beginning of the tribulation, is the coming ruler that will make a covenant with Israel. Is this the UAE or Bahrain? I don't think so. I think there's more than that, because Israel living in peace in the land, that's what they're trying to do. It's not there yet, but that's what they are trying to do. According to Ezekiel, it will happen. There will be a time when everything will be peaceful in that city. But here is another marker, or you can say indication, that it is not happening now, because there will be temple sacrifices instituted by these ruler. Is that happening now? The obvious answer is no, there is no temple. And that's why we believe and look into the future that the temple will be rebuilt. It will come back. It will rebuild. They will rebuild the temple and sacrifices will start. And this ruler will initiate that all in the beginning of the tribulation. And we say, what happens when they started building the temple there? Then we start thinking again, right? This might be it. But the truth is, there will be, so that could be. But we should be careful not to look at all the details, because the prophecies are very detailed when you look at Daniel. The world church dominates religion, and the Antichrist dominates that. And so what else? We know there is 7 years last week. In the middle of the week, what happens? 3.5 years, Satan casts down from heaven and energizes the Antichrist. The Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, causing her sacrifices to cease. So yes, there will be sacrifices, beginning of that 70th week, but in the middle, that's when we will see the real Antichrist. The 144,000, that's when we see in Revelation 7, 144,000 Israelites saved and sealed. So these are more than likely the witnesses during that time in the middle of that tribulation. And these 3.5 years are called the Great Tribulation, the Great Distress, time of distress, a time of trouble for Jacob. And very clear, the language is about Israel. So as we live today and see all these peace treaties, it will happen. But we have to also understand there are things that God has revealed to us from the scripture to find out, you know, if this is the case. Because Daniel, when he was reading the scripture, knew exactly when Israel will be leaving the captivity. He's saying, hey, it's almost done. It's almost time that God will, you know, free us from our captivity. And so very much similar, when we read this, we will see that not only the time frame, but the markers during those days. Maybe we will not be alive then, right? I don't know. I think not. Last half of the tribulation. Antichrist image, that abomination is set up for worship. Now, the real deal will happen, right? He will be very much peacefully making sure that Israel has a temple. There will be a covenant. There will be sacrifices. But when it comes to that middle of that tribulation, then we know what is the true color of this ruler. He will set up to be worshipped. Two witnesses begin their ministry. What's the question about these two ministers? They usually come up. You know, who are these ministers? Who are these two witnesses? Some will say it's Moses and I think Elijah, right? Some will say Elijah and Enoch because they did not physically die. I don't know. The Bible is silent. Because their ministries were very much similar to those. But those two witnesses begin their ministry. False prophet promotes the Antichrist, who is now worshipped by nations and unbelieving Israel. The mark of the beast. So this is where we get that from Revelation 13. Used to promote worship of the Antichrist. So you can see how when we look at our history, God's promises will come true. Because otherwise, what are we talking about? And that's why I ask my students, hey, you understand, if you say prophecies will happen, you know what it means? You're saying that God is in control. There is no way you can say prophecies might happen. It may not happen. No, because our idea of God, of the scripture, is when he promised something, it will happen. Whether we understand it, you know, totally or not, one thing we know, that it will be fulfilled according as it is written. So the moment we embrace that, the moment we say that and believe that, you are believing that this God, the God of the scripture, controls. Nothing happens outside his control, which is good, by the way. So Antichrist's image will now show up, and it will be worshipped. But the two witnesses will witness against those false gods. But the false prophet will promote the Antichrist. Then the mark of the beast will also promote worship of the Antichrist. Antichrist and false prophets deceive many people. Remember now, the restrainer is removed. There's none that restrains the sin nature of man. The gospel of the kingdom proclaimed and blasphemy increases as judgment intensifies. We don't have time to read that. When you start reading Revelation 16, I started looking at and thinking, you know what? When God judged and people knew God is judging the world, then people will start to repent. They knew exactly this is God that is judging sin and all this evil that is happening. But then I start reading Revelation 16, and they say, we'd rather die than bow the knee. And it's repeated, and they repented not and blasphemed the God. So, no, when that restrainer is removed, we will see the ugliness of sin nature. Again and again, they will be, one-fourth of the population annihilated. But then again, John will say, and they repented not. So blasphemy increases as judgment intensifies. You would think it's the other way around. There was a time I thought that. No, I thought when you are being chastised, you will be on your knees. But no, this is the grace of God. That's why we say and we believe in the common grace of God, that God is good to everyone. What about the second coming? We mentioned a little about the second coming. Well, there's the three views, basically. A millennial, post-millennial, and premillennial. Who are we? We are pre-mill. So think of premillennial or millennialism as the second coming. Is he coming before 1,000? That's years. Or is he coming after the 1,000 years? Or is he already come? So that's the idea that we believe that he will come at the end of that tribulation, pre-millennial, before the 1,000 years. And that's why we believe in a literal kingdom, that Christ physically will return on earth to establish that kingdom. And you say, why do we believe that? Well, again, the prophecies, the promises of Christ. Not only to us, but even to his apostles, they say, hey, the angel said, what are you looking? They were looking up when he ascended to heaven. And say, the same Jesus will return, just the way he left, he will return the same way. He will come back on earth. So what do we know so far? There will be a mystery, that's where we live, based on the prophecy. There will be a time for Israel, thy holy people, and thy holy city, thy people and their holy city, according to the prophecy to Daniel, and Christ will come and establish his kingdom. So towards the end, we will look at the conclusion of the tribulation. Signs will appear in the earth and sky. That's another thing that a lot of people talk about. What are the signs? Are these the signs? Yes, there will be signs that appear in the earth and sky. However, the sign is the sign of the Son of Man. Christ returns with the armies of heaven. And so, the Son of Man himself, I think it says, hey, it's just like the lightning, right? It goes from the east to the west. The idea is everyone will know. Everyone will see. That's probably when technology is really very advanced. Armies unite at Armageddon against Christ and the armies of heaven. That is where the Valley of Megiddo will be the place for the battle. but it's not much of a battle. If I imagine right the future, they are destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The beast and the false prophets are now thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 19. So at the end of this last week, the 70th week, Son of Man returns, battle in the Megiddo Valley, Christ destroys the enemies, beast and the false prophets are thrown into the lake of fire. So when will Israel be saved? When all of this Israel be saved? Zechariah 12:9-11 said, when will Israel repent? At the end of the tribulation. So Israel will go through that tribulation. Zechariah said, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadadrimon in the valley of Megiddo. Sounds like repentance. Sounds like the grace of God coming upon the house of David. Jeremiah 31, the new covenant. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And I'll skip the rest of these. I'll just do the highlighted portion. And then continuing on in verse 33 and 34. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So that is where at the end of the tribulation, God will bring about the new covenant, and he will destroy all the enemies of Israel. Israel will repent and turn to the Messiah. Angels will gather the Jews from all over the world to assemble before the Messiah. And it is not just, you know, a gathering. It's a miraculous gathering. Christ will separate believers from unbelievers in the judgment of Israel. So when Israel gets saved, it is not like magic. It is not like suddenly, if you're a Jewish person, you are saved. It doesn't. Salvation is the same. In Christ alone, salvation is the same. So when Paul saying all Israel will be saved, he's saying in the future, this is what will happen. How will it happen? God will turn their heart of stone into a heart of flesh. The grace of God will, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will open their understanding, repent, and turn to the Messiah. Christ will bring all the people from different parts of the world. I will bring you out, Ezekiel 20, 34 to 36. Out of the people, and I will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered. Verse 35, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. There will I plead with you face to face. It sounds like the Lord Jesus Christ is witnessing to them. In verse 37, 38, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And here it is. How Israel will be saved, and I will purge out from among you whom? The rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Salvation is the same. There will be believers and unbelievers, and God said those unbelievers will be removed. So the judgment of the living Israel happens at the end of the tribulation. The judgment of the living Gentiles, that's where we see the sheep and the goat. Satan then is cast into the abyss. Old Testament saints resurrected, and new tribulation, the tribulation saints also resurrected. And the question is, does not the Bible teach that the unbelieving dead will also be resurrected upon the coming for judgment, upon his coming? And the answer is no. I'll just put it in there because I don't know where the 75 extra days will, what will happen in those days. Two resurrections. Old Testament tribulation saints at the beginning of the millennium to reign with Christ. The resurrection of the unbelievers at the end of the millennium to face the great white throne judgment. And so there are two resurrections. We are part of the first. The first fruit is the Lord Jesus Christ. So to close, the kingdom of God, Christ begins his reign on earth, 1,000 years fulfilling the covenants to Abraham, the land, the king, Davidic covenant, and a new covenant. God will change their heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Satan confined in the abyss and the millennial temple built. So in that case, we're not done yet, right? At the conclusion, Satan will be released and Satan will deceive the nations. Global armies besiege Jerusalem and destroyed by God. So what else? Well, that's when the Satan is cast in the lake of fire, the judgment comes, and the wicked cast into the lake of fire. But our main thing today is looking at, what does it mean, all Israel shall be saved? Well, it means God will deal with them again. When will God deal with them? There is that 70th week of Daniel. But when that happens, it is not automatic. You are a Filipino, you're saved, right? No, you are saved the same way. When we look at what's happening, God will plead with them, the witnesses, and they will repent. Are all of them? No. According to the scripture, some of them will continue to rebel, and that's when the Lord will separate the rebels and those that transgress against God, and so all Israel shall be saved. So is it happening today with a treaty? No. There are things that God has revealed to us that we can be confident that God is in control. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word. May you bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray.